So if you have your Bibles, open at Mark chapter 8. This is our scripture for today. Nowadays, I'm sure if you've been on websites or social media, you'll know that you can set filters in different ways. You can filter things by color or by price or by country or by type or by size. Sometimes the filters are many. And to narrow down what you're looking for, you really have to use filters. Otherwise, you're going to waste a lot of time. Here in Mark's Gospel, as we've been traveling through it, Mark has been showing us week after week after week the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he has been doing so across these weeks and months that we've been in Mark's Gospel, there is a sense that as he does so, a crowd has been gathering up behind the Lord Jesus Christ. We've heard sometimes it's a crowd of 4,000 men, plus women and children. Other times there's been 5,000 men, plus women and children. And this crowd has been quite a following. And in many ways, these are people who are with Jesus, yet the question is, are they really with Jesus? And so here in Mark chapter 8, with this great declaration of the Apostle Peter, you are the Christ, immediately Jesus sets filters. And the rest of the chapter are, in many ways, verses which are different filters to filter out those who are curious from those who are committed. Those who are simply religious from those who are truly righteous. Those who are really disciples from those who are just hangers-on. And Jesus here, as he says these words, he is setting out the terms of transition, if you like, from those who want to see the kingdom of God to those who really will see the kingdom of God, because not everybody's going to see it. And here are the filters running through to 9 chapter 1, and I want to list four of them today. I want to summarize them in four ways as we think about them and work through them together. Let me show you, first of all, how Jesus calls for self-denial, and there it is in verse 34. In other words, saying no to yourself, self-denial. Jesus says in verse 34, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, self-denial is something that we practice in different contexts. For example, if you are saving up for something, you don't want to take out a loan, you're saving up for it, so you will deny yourself certain things. You'll deny yourself maybe a holiday. You'll deny yourself maybe changing your car. You'll deny yourself maybe meals out, and you'll try and build up the money that you have in a pot so that you can get what you've set your heart on. So you'll deny yourself in the meantime. Or maybe there's a special occasion coming up in the family, and your clothes have been getting a little bit tighter lately, so you deny yourself food so that you can wear that suit or that dress or whatever it is you want to wear at the special occasion. Self-denial is something that is practiced by us in different circumstances. So what did Jesus mean when he calls for self-denial? Well, what I believe he meant was that true followers are those who surrender their own will in order to say to him, not my will, but yours be done in my life, Lord. Not my will, but yours be done in my life, Lord. It's a bit like if you're driving the car and you say to Jesus, if I could put it in these terms, Lord, I'm going to get out of this car of my life. I've been driving it for the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever years, and it's been my life. It's my car. I'm going where I want to go and doing what I want to do, but I'm going to get out of the driving seat. I'm going to get into the passenger seat, and I'm going to let you drive it from now on. That's denying yourself. That's letting Jesus set the direction of your life. John Stott puts it like this: it is to say no to self and yes to Christ. to repudiate self and to acknowledge Christ. That will mean that you, with your money, for example, will no longer spend your money on what you want to spend it on. You'll say, Lord, how should I spend my money? How would you have me spend my money? How can I honor you with what you have blessed me with? That will mean the way you treat people will have to be adjusted. You no longer just do what you want or say what you want to do to people around you. You will treat them the Jesus way. You will speak to them the Jesus way. It will mean the websites you visit, the films you watch, the TV programs, you'll have to adjust. Because Jesus says, be holy, for I am holy. You can't follow Jesus, who is holy, and live an unholy life. The goals you set in yourself, the ambitions you have, the opinions you hold, the things you think about, the attitudes you hold, they'll have to be adjusted to be the Jesus way. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. You've got to rethink your life. You've got to do things my way from now on. You can't walk into the kingdom pleasing yourself and pleasing me at one and the same time. You can't serve God and mammon. So which is it? And I believe not everybody is prepared for that. Lots of people are willing to have Jesus in their lives as an add-on. They're willing to have Jesus in their lives as an accessory, as a possession that they own, but they're not willing to be possessed by him, to be owned by him. And when Jesus said here, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, Jesus is saying this. Christianity isn't you owning Jesus, it's Jesus owning you. Are you ready for that? Secondly, as well as saying no to self, Jesus talked about being prepared to suffer. Because carrying a cross is a painful thing to do. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The cross of Bible times was like carrying a tree around on your shoulder. It was burdensome. It bruised you. It bloodied you. It wearied you. And Jesus is saying to people who want to be his followers, okay, it's great you say you want to follow me, but are you prepared to suffer? And Jesus, of course, isn't asking them to do something that he isn't prepared to do himself. Because in verse 31, Jesus says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Jesus himself talked about himself suffering, being rejected, and being killed. And it's no wonder that Peter interrupts him at this point, and if I could put words in Peter's mouth, says something like this, Lord, don't be saying things like that. How could you be suffered? How could you suffer? How could you be rejected? How could you be killed? You are the Christ. I've just said it. That'll only happen, Lord, over my dead body, putting words into Peter's mouth. Because by nature, we want to avoid suffering. No one likes suffering. We run away from it. We swerve it. But sometimes suffering is God's will for you. And that's why Jesus rebuked him in the strongest possible of terms. And when I was reading this during the week and preparing for this, I thought, this is withering, isn't it? As Jesus turns to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. I don't know how Peter recovered from that. Sometimes people say hard things to us, and we take it hard. But by the grace of God, we can recover even from the harshest of words. And this is hard. This is harsh, as Jesus says to them. Get behind me, Satan. But the work of the devil is to take us away from following Jesus no matter what. And that's why Jesus said to him, you don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. You're just thinking like a man. You haven't yet got the mind of God. Because the cross was to be the crowning masterpiece of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was to be the greatest self-denial of all, as God the Son laid down his life voluntarily, saying no to life. He was only in his early 30s. In order that sinners like you and I would receive the gift of eternal life and not be punished and not die and not go to hell. And if you've never come to Jesus or never realized this, what he did on the cross was because of you and it was for you. Come today to him. Thank him. And believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and all your household. Charles Studd was a one-time missionary to China and Africa and India. And he famously said this, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. And one of his books is called The Chocolate Soldier. And he said in his day, it's over 100 years ago, that in his day, and these are his words, the church is filled with namby-pamby, lukewarm chocolate Christians. And what he meant by that was that when the slightest heat is applied to them, they melt. But the true Christian takes up their cross and is ready to suffer, even though it's painful, even though you'd rather not go through it. But if Jesus takes you that way, you go that way. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, says Hebrews 12, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Notice, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now I know what you're thinking, Richard, you're not making Christianity very attractive. And people can be put off, but Jesus taught us we have to count the cost of following him. And that takes me on, thirdly, to the calculation that he urged people to make. And there it is in verse 36. Okay, I'm talking about pain, I'm talking about taking up a cross and denying yourself, and that's well and good. And you want to back out, okay? Well, let me make you, here's another filter. I want you to calculate. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Because for some people, the thought of denying themselves and letting Jesus be king of their lives, it's just too much. And maybe as Jesus is saying these things, maybe some of the crowd are beginning to move out, slip out. Kind of, you know the way people do in crowds, they're kind of edging out of the way. But Jesus isn't letting them walk away. He's saying, hold on a minute, make a calculation before you turn and walk out. Weigh things in the balance, and it's like a set of scales. You know the old-fashioned scales, weight on one side and the container on the other, and you know this kind of old-fashioned scales. On one side is the pleasures of sin, the treasures of Egypt, Sodom and Gomorrah, Vanity Fair, the world, the flesh, the devil. On this side. And on this side, your soul. Your immortal spirit. Which one are you going to go for? The pleasures of sin, the treasures of Egypt, Vanity Fair, Sodom and Gomorrah, the world, the flesh, the devil. You can have it all. But you forfeit your soul. Which is it going to be? I once got stopped going onto a plane because they said in Gatwick Airport that my case was too large. The girl said to me that was too large. I said, well, it's funny, I flew from Belfast and it was okay there. She says, well, we'll Gatwick, we do things differently. And they have, do you know the little box they have in departure gates? And she had me fit my case in to the little box, the little steel box, and it fitted upright perfectly. Her face dropped. She said, turn it the other way. I turned it the other way, and it was about 2 inches too wide. And she said, that'll be £48, please. And I had to go to the gate, where conveniently they had a reader, they had a machine, and I had to put in my number, and I had to forfeit £48. To lose control of it, to hand it over, and it went, it was gone. And I'll tell you, it stung. But what will it be on the last day if you have to forfeit your soul? Hand it over. And watch it go. Remember God said in the parable of the rich farmer, today your soul is required of you. And as I was preparing this message, the solemnity of this came over me, that this following Jesus is no game. Church is no entertainment venue that you come for a motivational talk where a comedian gets up and tells you a few jokes and you go home feeling pepped up for the week ahead. If that's the church you want, that's not the true church. And Jesus, when he says, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? He is asking you and me to make a calculation. Is it going to be the things of this world that you'll hold on to as long as you're on earth, and then one day you'll give them all away? You'll forfeit them all. Or is it the Lord Jesus Christ who will hold you in time and for all of eternity? There's things I have to give up. There's things I have to practice in my life, self-denial. I have to make this calculation just as you have to make this calculation. And Jesus here, as he calls upon the people to make it, is saying to them, your soul is more precious than all the world put together. So what's it going to be? And let me end today by talking about the fourth filter, which is the privilege for following Jesus. I was going to use the word reward, but the word reward suggests you can earn it. You can't. This is the gift of God for those who truly follow Jesus. Because for those who truly follow Jesus, their landing place is in chapter 9 and verse 1. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. The kingdom of God come with power. That's your landing place if you're truly following Jesus. His kingdom coming in power with his Father's glory, with the holy angels. Jesus uses these terms in chapter 8 and verse 38 to say to you and to me that this world, it's all passing away, but the kingdom of God is coming in power. I don't know about you, but I want to be alive on the day that kingdom comes. We pray it, don't we, in the Lord's Prayer? Your kingdom come. Jesus says that kingdom is a kingdom of power, a kingdom of glory, a kingdom of angels. And best of all, God is there. God is there. And it'll be a bit like the Queen of Sheba in the Old Testament when she saw King Solomon and she saw his kingdom and she saw his treasuries, and she saw all his splendor, she said, the half was never told me. And you know, heaven will be like that. We'll say, the half was never told me. How good, how great, how glorious. So as I end today, I started by saying Jesus is filtering the committed from those who are merely curious, the disciples from those who are merely the hangers-on, the religious from those who are truly righteous, who look to God for righteousness by faith. What about you today? It is so good to see so many people out on this holiday weekend. It's lovely to see so many people in Drumrea Church. I was wondering earlier, would there be anybody here today? People are out and about and away and so on, but you're here. This message is for you. How decided are you for Christ? How devoted are you to Christ? How determined are you to follow him no matter what? Because that's the spirit of this passage. Count the cost. That's the voice of the Spirit in this passage. That's the call of the kingdom to say, not just with your lips, you are the Christ, as Peter did in verse 29, but also to do so with your life. You are the Christ. Wow. You are the Lord. You are the King of my life. Because Jesus is outlining here, he is filtering the people, and he is calling upon them, as he calls upon us, as I've hopefully faithfully expounded this passage this morning, to ask ourselves where we are. Not just to be part of the crowd, but to be individually and personally born again of his Spirit and following him no matter what. Because he is the Lord. He is the Christ. He did die on the cross for my sins. Let's pray.